A year ago tomorrow, three people died in the Boston Marathon bombings. More than a dozen lost limbs, over 200 were injured. Some chose to tell their incredible stories, some chose privacy. But at least one maybe didn't have a choice. Jeff Bowman lost both lower legs in the bombings. Then his rescue was captured in that iconic photo, Jeff in a wheelchair, one of his rescuers, the man in the cowboy hat racing alongside him. And before that, Jeff Bowman's eyes locked with the older bomber's eyes. From his hospital bed, he helped identify him. That leaked out, and a few days later, during the manhunt for the two accused bombers, his girlfriend Erin called, petrified.
We turned to a news channel after Erin called, and my face was in continuous rotation. Bowman, no legs. Jeff Bowman identified the bombers, Sarnov, Bowman, Sarnov. They kept showing the photo of Erin and me that happened to be pulled off Facebook. Bowman the hero, Bowman and his girlfriend. Did we mention he lost his legs? Erin called back half hour later while Tim was on hold with the Brighton police. She talked with the FBI agent who told her not to worry, the bomber was on the run and she was in no danger. She called her father who told her to stay put, he was on his way. She sounded better, although she later admitted that she was hiding under the covers of her bed. Stay strong, I texted her.
Jeff Bowman reading from his new book, Stronger, a truly great read about a self-described guy who worked at Costco who never thought he'd be thrust into the limelight and what he does once he is. And Jeff Bowman joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
It is so nice to see you. But I could see in your eyes when I saw you, you saw me seeing you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have become this symbol. What's that like to see something register in people's eyes when they see you?
It's definitely very weird mm-hmm. because people recognize me. I used to go unrecognized by everyone. But yeah, now people, you know, stop and look at me. Either it's because I'm walking around with mechanical robot legs or, I don't know, because I'm great looking. No, just kidding.
I think that's a part of it. That's a major part of it.
Not at all. I think I'm average.
Well, you actually say in the book at one point, I think it's during the physical therapy, you say, I'm not a no pain, no gain guy. I'm not competitive. I'm just ordinary.
Yeah. That's me. I should have probably strived for more, and I was gonna. I was just waiting for my opportunity in life, but...
Well, and then, I don't know that you'd call that. Would you call this an opportunity? I mean...
No, not at all. I definitely have a lot of opportunities after the fact, but I don't...
Yeah,
this
right.
is... Right. This is something that I would have liked to bypass in my life.
Yeah. Well, for an ordinary guy, you do some extraordinary things after this happens. And by the way, we asked you to read that passage of the book. Reading that with the anniversary imminent, how is that for you to go back to that time?
It's really tough. And I don't like pictures. I don't like seeing the pictures. And I've seen a lot of horrible pictures, not just the one of... You know, the one of Carlos and I in the chair.
Carlos was the man in the cowboy hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's great.
But other pictures?
I've seen other pictures, and, you know, those ones scare me. And they make me, you know, this instantly make me want to cry. And guys shake after I see them. Just the ones of, I don't know if you've seen them, but, like, there's gore ones of, you know, this of the actual bomb and people just laying there, and I could see me laying there when I'm laying on the ground, and that was really a tough time for me. That was, I thought I was dead.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die there.
Oh, and tough to see. Well, can we go back to that day?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Well, you were standing near the finish line with your friends Remy and Michelle.
Yeah.
All of you cheering on Erin, your girlfriend, running the marathon. You described the Jeff Bowman that you were for the split second before the bombs went off. What else would you have said about yourself on that day?
It was my first marathon, so I didn't know what to expect. I was having a lot of fun. It was a good time, and it was great to see all the people running, and you know, you're seeing them on their 26th mile, and you know, that's a long car ride for me. That's and people were running this, and you know, and then we were trying to look for Erin. So I'm looking at every single face that's running by me and registering it, and like, oh, that's not Erin.
Well, you also looked at a face right behind you. When you describe your eyes locked with, older bomber.
He had glasses on, but yeah, he was looking right at me, and because he like kind of he was trying to make his way through the crowd, and he bumped into me, And, you know, it was a tightly packed crowd. Everyone was right there on the gate at the fence. And, you know, he's trying to bump into me and trying to get past me. So I kind of gave him a dirty look, being like, what are you doing? There's nowhere to go. It's just, you know, there's people packed in there. And, you know, I did think he was weird, awkward, because he wasn't with anybody.
And you said he gave you a look. You felt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looked right at me. We, you know, we kind of met eyes and he just had a straight face. He had a backpack on. I saw it on his shoulder. He was holding it. And then I turned away from him.
And you thought, maybe, you know, I don't know who this guy is. Maybe we should move.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to move anyways. I thought Erin probably already finished and we missed her because there was just so many people.
Right. And then, boom.
Yeah. Not even 2 minutes later, you know, I saw, I didn't even hear it. I saw a white flash and a loud pop, pop, pop. It sounded like three pops and, you know, I was on the ground.
And people, including Carlos Arredondo, begin running to save your life. That's Jeff Bowman, his new book, Stronger. He writes about how incredible it was that Carlos, who almost killed himself years earlier after hearing that his son was killed in Iraq, was alive to save him. That's a thought that occurred to us when we spoke with Carlos just after the bombing. All I could think of when I heard that you had done this, helped save Jeff Bowman, is that have you thought about what would have happened had you been able to take your life years ago? That maybe he might not have been saved.
Yes. You know, before I'd even cross the street, you know, to go to help him, I just pray God protect me and protect the others, you know, from what's happened there.
You're listening to Here and Now. Fans at a Boston Bruins hockey game last spring when Jeff Bowman rolled onto the ice waving an American flag less than a month after losing his legs in the Boston Marathon bombings. We've been catching up with Jeff. His new book is Stronger. He became a symbol of strength after the bombings and that iconic photo of him in a wheelchair with three rescuers, including the man in the cowboy hat, Carlos Arredondo. But as we've been hearing, Jeff didn't think of himself as anything special. And Jeff, tell us more about that. You and Carlos appear everywhere. You become this couple.
Yeah.
And as you're going through the excruciating recovery and people start wanting you to come out and do, what do you think people want from you and Carlos? What do you think it is that they hope you help them with?
Well, I just think that people look at us as like, you know, two good guys that are pretty cool and down to earth. And so I'm just glad that people, you know, are very, you know, nice and generous.
But at first it was scary for you. They wanted you to go to the Bruins game.
And, yeah. It was tough for me to do that stuff. The Bruins game was tough. The first one, you know, I did, and I was in my chair, and I waved the flag, and I didn't realize that it was going to be that intense. It was just, as soon as you go out on the ice, it's just so many people cheering. And I was a little scared. So I was like, oh, that's good. I'm kind of glad it's over. That was too intense for me.
You had become the symbol. So they wanted to see you well, and they wanted to see you walk. And that's a lot of pressure.
It was, especially in the second time. I was just got my prosthetics, and I was standing. I mean, a lot of people wanted to see me stand, and I know I understand, but I was so nervous. I was like, I don't want to do it. I'm going to fall. I'm going to go out there and fall. And I was just really scared to do it, but my mom forced me to do it. She was like, you got to go out there. You got to show everyone you're up and you're standing. And I was like, okay, all right, I will. And it helps her too, you know.
Well, it does, but I wonder, you know, you write about how at times there's just a lot of pressure on you to be what other people need you to be. You know? On the other hand, they propelled you. They made you better than you are.
I mean, I would have never left and gone out and stood and... But that night I did, and, you know, it's kind of part of the recovery and getting me going.
Is there also, though, people start wanting to give you all things, and so things start pouring in, you know, you get guitars. And
yeah.
Your mother at one point says, I don't know how to tell you this, but people have given you $100,000, and you're thinking, oh, my, I had to drop out of college because I didn't have $900.
Yeah. Yeah, at first I didn't know how to take all of it. You know, I kind of still have, I struggle with it. You know, I lay awake and I'm like, you know, I'm so fortunate.
I'm so fortunate.
Yeah, because a lot of people that go through like a tragic event, like say for like the Wounded Warriors, for example, or like a kid or guy overseas that loses a leg, he doesn't have like the national support like I had and like everybody knowing my story. Usually nobody gets their stories. And I just feel for people like that. I kind of feel bad. And
I was going to say, does that make you feel a little guilty?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I do what I can.
Well, and serve where you can at all these. Every time people ask you, you're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've met people that don't have a lot of support.
And I'm thinking of Will, somebody you met.
He came down with a virus, and he ended up losing his arms and his legs.
All four limbs,
and it's just it's absolutely crazy. But he goes through it, and you know he doesn't have like one tenth of the support that we all get. And you know I do what I can. You know, like I love Will to death, and every time I see him, I give him a hug, and I cheer him on. He cheers me on, and you know, I just try to do what I can.
So there's that, and you also talk very candidly about family, about being in a new relationship, living with your mom, who, God bless her, had some drinking issues. A reminder, you know, that when people are thrust into the limelight, they remain real people with familiar family stories. And again, God bless your mom, because she just has done so much for you.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
It's.
But at a certain point, you and Aaron decide we need a home of our own.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are some of the things. Who thinks about this, you know, when you're thinking about what happens to someone?
I mean, I wasn't. But I was fine living with my mom. And even after, you know, I was like, oh, this is great. She would get me anything I wanted at any time, you know. And I had Aaron there, too. So I had, like, extra helping hands.
Well, you know, you talk about this. There's a point.
Yeah.
There's a certain point where it's like, okay, you lost your legs, but we got to deal with some stuff here.
Oh, they give me tough love all day.
Well, and then there's a wider group of people. I'm looking through the glass here in the studio at Kev. This is your former boss at Costco.
The fun police.
Still the boss? He says, I'm still the boss. Would you have been hanging out with Kev as much as you now do? You describe your surprise of, you know, I'm a guy from the burbs, and I'm suddenly close friends with a gay man from the south end of Boston, in a very different neighborhood.
Absolutely not. My life has changed. It's a whole different life. You know, I meet crazy different people every day, and not just people that come up to me randomly and, like, give me a hug, but, you know, people that I probably wouldn't have never gotten close with, such as a guy from Costa Rica, or
which is Carlos,
or Kevin. It's unreal. It's just how much people care.
You also do an extraordinary thing. As we said, you locked eyes with the older brother who was killed in a shootout.
Yeah.
A couple days later, you helped in tracking him down.
Yeah.
You helped. You know that he put that knapsack right by you.
Yep.
His younger brother survived. You know, but I should disclose for our listeners, you're aware that a lot of people like me knew Jahar Zanayev because he went to a local school. The younger people in our lives knew him, so you knew that. A lot of people who knew him and loved him because he was a popular kid are not forgiving him. What are your thoughts? Because you express them in the book. They're pretty incredible.
Yeah. You know, he was 19, and it seemed like he had a good life. Not only did he ruin other people's lives and change other people's lives, he ruined his own life.
If I'm reading quickly, that actually makes you sad.
Yeah, it does.
This is pretty extraordinary. Here's the passage. You're sitting with Aaron, and you're right. That was the morning I said I was not angry at the Tsarnaev brothers.
Yeah, I'm not angry at them.
Well, you go further. You say the feeling that came up is empathy.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I don't know. I'm just a weird person like that. I'm kind of sensitive, and, you know, I feel bad for people that hurt other people because it's just awful. I feel bad for them that they don't have, you know, that feeling of kind of like love. You know, I wanted to ask him, you know, like, what was the reason? What was the reason? Were you forced to do this? Like, I just want to know why. And then how he feels about it, how he knows that he ruined people's lives. And I want to talk to him, like, see what he felt like.
That's pretty extraordinary. Well, meanwhile, your life. That woman, Erin.
Yes, E.
Is going to have a baby.
Yeah, yep.
What a sign of life.
Yeah.
To come from all this.
I think everything that has come from this is just pure awesome and amazing. You know, I'm just glad I'm still here. There was, you know, a window of 2 minutes of where I'm not sitting here with you right now. Now I'm living a totally different life, and I'm going to get married next year, and I see my family every day, and I'm starting my own family now, and I'm living my life to the fullest, and I'm very thankful and grateful, and You know, it's just nothing but positivity and love in my life.
Yeah. That's Jeff Bowman. His book is Stronger.
Yeah.
Jeff, thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Roman. Yeah.